The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi everyone, Merry Christmas and welcome to this episode of No Such Thing as a Fish. We have something very special for you today. It is our Christmas special. Well, it's kind of a 2025 special. We've looked at this entire year and we found our favourite news stories. Do you remember when we used to do our own TV show called No Such Thing as a News? Well, this is a kind of version of that where we don't have to do makeup and don't have to sit in front of the camera. I really hope you enjoy it. I really hope you had a great Christmas. I know not everyone has a great time this time of year, but if you didn't, I hope you can kind of just turn off for the next hour and listen to us be really silly. If you would like some more fish in your life, perhaps, to help that time between Christmas and New Year go very, very quickly, then the place to go is definitely Patreon. It's patreon.com/nosuchthingasafish, and there you can find everything about Club Fish, all of our extra content that you can get with all of our different tiers. Not only will you get lots of extra stuff, but you will be helping to support the podcast, so do go there if you fancy it. If not, then please stay here and listen to the podcast, which is free and which will always be free. Okay, on with the podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Such Thing as a Fish, a very special Boxing Day edition. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you got all the presents you wanted. And here's an extra present for you, a sort of different No Such Thing as a Fish today, because we are going to be going through not our favorite facts from the last 7 days, but our favorite bits of news from the last 365 days. We are now presenting the podcast of the year in sort of tribute to our books, the book of the year, and our TV show, No Such Thing as the News. So this is the podcast of the book of the TV show.
Of the podcast.
Of the podcast.
Of the TV show, because it came from QI.
Yeah. So this is the podcast of the book of the TV show, of the podcast of the TV show. And in no particular order, here we go.
It's like the Blade Runner of podcasts.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So we're actually doing something different today, because as well as finding our favorite news stories, we have actually tracked down characters from the news to tell us their story. And so I'm going to go first. I'm going to play a little bit of audio now. And James and Andy, let's see if you can work out who this is from the news this year. Okay.
Hi, No Such Thing as a Fish. This is Mariel Burnett from the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. This year, along with my co-writer, Paul Sylvia, I published a scientific paper that set out to answer a very important question. So what do you think that question was?
Oh, okay. Quite vague.
Yeah. Quite vague.
University of Massachusetts, so Boston, perhaps.
Yep.
Something to do with the Tea Party.
Oh.
Something to do with the New England Patriots football team.
How many sugars were there in the Boston Tea Party?
Or how many sandwiches?
Yeah.
No, we're nowhere near close. And yes, it is so vague that it's going to be virtually impossible
to get. Well, no, Dan's interests veer to the cryptid.
His wife.
There's no way of talking about Vanilla.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said initially.
The cryptid.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
A hairy, mythical, and terrifying beast. Fenella is much loved by everyone, and no such thing as a fish. Oh, thank God she doesn't listen to our show. So is it they've discovered why people believe all this rubbish?
No, it's not to do with that sort of weird world.
Psychologist, did she say?
Yeah.
So it's something to do with the way that people act, maybe?
Why we cry? Why we cry in public? Yeah. why I cry in public?
Right. Why we kiss? That's been a study this year.
That has been a study.
Well, because it's good for podcast team unity, isn't it?
It just stops you crying.
I think it's relevant to what ends up happening a lot on this show when we...
tedious arguments about minor points of information.
Banal jokes.
Ooh, now we're getting into the zone.
Bad jokes.
It's not bad jokes. Let me give you the answer. Here's the answer from Mariel Burnett.
The question we asked was, what's brown and sticky? And the answer, of course, is a stick. Actually, that was just the title of the paper. The thing we really wanted to know is, who finds dad jokes funny? And after collecting over 32,000 jokes and putting them to a group of volunteers, we found our answer. And so, my fact for your podcast of the year is this. The people who find dad jokes the funniest are, in fact, dads.
So good.
I beg to differ. My daughter finds my jokes hilarious.
I agree with you. Yeah. If our kids were involved with this. Now, this is Mariel Burnett, and she wrote a paper this year called What's Brown and Sticky? Peering into the ineluctable comedic mystery of dad humor with a handful of machine learning models, hundreds of humans, and tens of thousands of dad jokes. And so they collected 32,000 different dad jokes, which can all now be found on one PDF online, by the way, if anyone wants to get their hands on that. So they came out with multiple different conclusions, but the main one being that dads definitely found the dad jokes the funniest of any group.
I think that makes sense because you wouldn't tell the joke if you didn't think it was funny.
Yes. Would you? Yeah.
So you automatically think it's funny when you say it.
I'm not sure I always do.
No.
I'm just trying to get a laugh. And I'm pretty dead behind the eyes, you know, when I'm telling any joke, actually.
And we talk about, yeah, we're not talking about dad jokes here, are we? We're talking about your stand-up set.
Just anything I do. Yeah. I'm trying to get a laugh, but that's the only calculation I make is will the audience laugh?
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And they never, and they often don't.
Interesting, because I'm so self-centered. All I care about is whether I find it funny or not. I think this says a lot about us.
Yeah. What about Dan?
You just do long Stuart Lee style monologues to your kids, don't you?
Yes. They don't usually hear the end, the punchline, because they've gone to school by
Stuart
that time.
Stuart Lee, there is no punchline.
That's where me and Stuart slightly differ. Right. I try to swing a punchline in at about the 25-minute mark. It's an interesting study. I asked her, actually, by the way, about what her least favorite dad joke was, because, you know, she must have her favorites and the ones she doesn't like. She said, these are the two. It's a tie. Why is a fish my best friend?
Because...
he's with me sink or swim?
Oh, really good.
It's really nice, yeah.
I don't know, Dan.
He always keeps it real with me. Now, she hates that because she says real is obviously a fishing term and real sounds like real, which would make it keep it real, a proper sentence, but keeps it real makes no sense. She just hates the logic that doesn't apply.
Keeps it real. What does that mean? Keeps a real?
Keeps it real.
Keeps itself on the end of the real? Yeah. I see what you mean.
Doesn't work. So she hates it for the lack of logic. She says, contrast this with justice is a dish best served cold. If it were served warm, it would be called just water.
Because it's just ice.
Yeah. Yes.
Very nice.
Maybe that works better in the Boston accent.
And it works as well, I think, as a sentence rather than as a spoken out thing.
I actually think the first one isn't a dad joke. Like, to me, a dad joke is something you say repeatedly whenever something happens.
Yes.
Like, if your kid says, I'm thirsty, you say, hello, Thursday, I'm Friday.
Yes.
And this is my friend Robinson Crusoe. Like, but they do it all the time.
Yeah, every single time.
Or Anna's mum, who, whenever Anna said, can you turn on the lights? She would go over and start flirting with the light switch.
Yes, yes.
Like, I think that is a proper dad joke.
That's proper dad joke.
And I don't think a bad joke is a dad joke, personally.
I say one. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I say a dad joke virtually every day in our house.
Which one?
It's the same one. At the end of the day, Fenella will say, can you draw the curtains? And I always say, well, I'd love to, but I don't have a pen.
The kids have gone to bed hours ago. She's rampaging across the Tibetan highlands.
So anyway, thank you so much, Mariel Burnett. And yeah, great work. But this brings us into the world of science, science news.
Yeah, do you know there was a study this year that found that cat poo might be the cause of the decline of fertility around the world?
Okay, so more people have cats. Ooh. More cats means more cat poo.
Yeah.
Cat poo is horrible.
Yeah.
The more you're exposed to cat poo, the less likely you are to think, I'm in the mood for love.
Actually, didn't we say in one of our earlier podcasts that the more disgusted you are,
or the more aroused you are.
Or is it the other way around? I can't remember.
It's the more aroused you are, the more you're willing to do disgusting things.
Okay, so maybe it's like every time someone gets a bit horny, instead of having sex and having children, they go and take the cat poo out.
Yes, exactly.
No, what this is it's Toxoplasma gondii, which is a parasite that you find in cat poo. There's been studies about this for a while, like if they give it to mice, it makes them more brave and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they found this year that if you put human sperm in cat poo, then the sperm gets decapitated.
Okay.
And so they wonder if there might be something in the cat poo that could be a natural spermicide.
Oh.
And that could be the cause for the fact that male fertility is going down all over the world at the moment,
wow.
Which it is.
If men are exposed to cat poo, somehow the thing gets inside them and is already acting away inside their
bodies.
I hate the thought of it. It's like a little sort of French Revolution for all your sperm. Off They're all being guillotined.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's horrible.
I don't have a cat and I have three kids and you've got a cat and you've got one kid.
Well, that is a data point. On the other hand, my child came maybe a year and a half after we got our cat.
So
with us, it didn't quite work out. But this is the thing about science. Our two tiny bits of data, that isn't science. You have to take in hundreds of thousands of bits of data.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Hence why my papers always get rejected. me and my mate James.
I did read a thing about something that's going wrong with scientific papers this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so interesting. Basically, there is this phrase that is starting to turn up in papers, right? Vegetative electron microscopy.
Okay, well, I know what electron microscopy is.
Right.
I've done scanning tunneling electron microscopy at university.
Have you?
Yeah, I've used a scanning tunneling microscope.
It's another episode of The Thousand Lives of James Harkin. It is!
I think that my lives are so less... I mean, they're way more interesting than yours, Andy, but like...
Sure. Yeah, don't... You can't say, my landscape is more mountainous than Norfolk. It's just like, who cares? Yeah, sure.
But compared to Dan has lived a billion lives.
Oh. Dan's had an interesting life. You two are both. Look, I just look up at both your lives and I'm really impressed. Anyway, okay, vegetative electron microscopy. You're right, James. It means nothing. It's not a meaningful phrase.
Okay.
But it has become what scientists are calling a digital fossil. This is so cool. It's a mistake. There were some scientific papers printed in the 50s and 60s, which were written on columns, you know, like long, tall columns of print.
Yeah.
And when these papers were being digitized, the two things got bolted onto each other. So the words are not next to each other in the original text,
right.
But the digitizing machine just bolted them together.
Ah.
This has now started turning up in lots of papers because it somehow got into the knowledge base of AI models, and people are starting to use AI to generate science papers, and... This is disastrous, you know. This is proof that there's real brain rot going on at the heart of lots of the AI models that are being used. And lots of science papers are being found which contain phrases like, I am an AI model, or I am a large language model.
Right.
Or,
wow. Mm. Uh-oh.
Breakthroughs this year?
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
First gonorrhea vaccine?
Oh, what a treat.
Finally.
Good news. It's only got a performance rate of 30 or 40%, but that's better than nothing.
Right.
So anyway, that's terrific. First successful bladder transplant. One has never been done until this year.
Really?
That's good.
Really? And I think it's in China. Some scientists have invented contact lenses which give you infrared vision and let you see things even if your eyes are closed.
Now,
that's a cool
good
is
thing.
That?
What if you want to close your eyes because you don't want it, like you're watching a scary movie.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I don't want to see what's happening here, so I close my eyes, but then you can still see it.
Yeah,
yes.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah, you walk into your parents' bedroom and they're shagging. I want to give a quick shout out to an amazing person who passed away this year, an Australian called James Harrison. He was 88 years old when he passed this year, and he is one of the most prolific blood donors that we've ever known. So he was known in Australia as the man with the golden arm. His blood contained a rare antibody, anti-D, which is used in medication that's given to pregnant mothers, and it's blood plasma, basically, that he's handing over. Now, he has been doing this since he was 18 years old, donating his blood every 2 weeks until he was 81 years old.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Did he get a sticker every time?
And a lollipop.
And a lollipop. He was morbidly obese by the end. I talked about cats earlier. There's been some dog studies this year. The epidemiology and clinical management of acute diarrhea in dogs under primary veterinary care in the UK was a study that I read. And it was very, very technical. Lots of lists of dogs, lots of reasons why they get diarrhea. Very complicated. But what I took out of it is that cockapoos are 25% more likely to suffer from diarrhea than shih tzus.
Brilliant.
And why they didn't put that as their headline, I don't know. Why they gave it that wordy thing.
I feel like most science reports should just send you a quick email before the story breaks, just for a quick rewrite on the headline.
Just in case there's a dad joke I can slip in there.
Yeah, exactly.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, it's time for fact number two, and that is Andy's fact.
Okay, here is my guest introducing him or herself.
Yeah.
See what you make of it, okay?
Okay, or them.
Or them, right.
Hi, Fish. My name's Lee Durrant. I'm a radio presenter in the Lake District. Can you guess what I did this year that made a few headlines?
Okay, very nice.
In the Lake District.
Lee Durrant. In the Lake District. He's got that DJ voice, hasn't
he? He's got
he?
A great voice.
Yeah.
So, like,
he's on
maybe,
Lake District Radio.
Okay. Maybe he launched a load of Sabrina Carpenter CDs into the water.
Oh, yes.
That's what he did.
Yes. Yeah. Submarina Carpenter.
Yeah, take a drink. You've earned that. You earned that sip. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so is it related to music or
it is related to music. He did something in the course of his job, which was...
Okay.
But also related to the Lake District.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What?
I've just thought of something that's in the Lake District.
Oh,
yeah.
Something that's very special to Andy's heart. Is it anything to do with the Pencil Museum?
I wish it were, James. Oh, no, it's not. No. It's not the Keswick Pencil Museum.
Oh, okay. So is it related to people who are from there? So Wordsworth or...
No, it's a modern thing. He's drawing attention to a problem in the Lake District that's going on right now.
There's a nuclear power plant up in Cumbria.
He's very happy with that. Actually, no, I don't want to put words in his mouth. We had a couple of chats. We didn't talk about everything Lake District.
Is it to do with water pollution? Because we have a lot of problem with that in the UK.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Did he do a poo in Lake Windermere?
What's the goal of that, James?
I didn't know whether he's pro or against.
He's just pointing out it exists, guys. You know. Well, shall I tell you what it is? Because I think you've got so close
okay,
now.
Cool. Okay.
I'm the presenter on Lake District Radio who played a marathon 24-hour show of number two records to highlight the real number two problem. sewage in our lakes and waterways.
Very good.
Ooh, how good is that?
Very good. I love it.
So yeah. He did a dirty protest.
He played 24 hours straight of number two songs.
Great.
It was really so good. And so all songs that peaked at number two in the charts. And there is lots of sewage going into Lake Windermere, and the utilities companies, that you know, they pay their bosses a lot. In my chat with him, he said this phrase, which I just absolutely love. He said, "What's more sickening, the fact that these water firms are paying themselves millions while failing to fix the sewage problem, or that Oasis never got to number one due to Robson and Jerome?"
Oh, yeah.
So Unchained Melody for Robson and Jerome, presumably. And
don't know. Just a very, very funny idea.
Yeah, really good. Good for him. And has it solved the problem?
Yep. I think it's embarrassed United Utilities who do run the water up.
Unfortunately,
there.
Number ones are also a problem if you put too much of them in the water.
Very good point.
Yes.
Very good point.
Wow, amazing. That's the second marathon of songs that happened this year. One just happened with Alex Horn.
Oh, yeah.
Did a live, they played one song on repeat for, I think it was 24 hours as well.
Which song?
I'm going off the top of my head here, so I can't quite remember.
It was something apt. It was like, "Don't stop me singing." I know that isn't the song, but it was like that kind of like...
Right.
Yeah, and they had the guests nonstop flooding in to sort of do a version of it.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Those marathons are very... I was part of a marathon this year, by the way. Yeah. I mean, it only lasted for 365 minutes, but it was the 31st anniversary of Agadoo this year.
Oh, yeah. By Black Lace.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Yeah.
So you pushed a pineapple for 300 hours.
No, to celebrate it, the Crab Museum guys who live down where I live, they put the song on 41 different devices and played them at the same time. It was wild. It was a cacophony of sound because it all goes out of sync very quickly.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
On different devices, you're at different bit rates, I think. And so it just slowly goes off. Anyway,
nice.
Let's get back to actual news.
No, that's really good.
So there were a couple of other sewagey protests this year.
Oh, yeah.
There was this month, actually, this December, there was a Santa's Against Sewage swim in Falmouth in Cornwall. Had to be called off. Can you guess why?
Because all the reindeers drowned.
That's it. too much sewage in the water for them to do a Santa's Against Sewage swim. This is the second year out of three it's had to be cancelled due to the sheer volume of sewage in the water.
Oh, no. It is bad.
Do they sort of hope it's going to be cancelled? Is that the whole point of it? Does that get the press? Is it annoying if they actually have to do the swim?
Don't know. I think these people are all, you know, what they're like in Cornwall. They like their beach and their surfing and swimming. So I think they probably are up for it.
Yeah.
There's been a big protest in France this year.
Oh, isn't that every year?
Very, very strange for the French to cut up rough.
They're kicking off about...
It's the most French protest.
The length of baguettes has shortened.
It's the second most French protest. It's there's a campaign at the moment to raise the retirement age in France
to
the ungodly age of 64. And I can't stand the thought of that.
What is it currently?
I think it's 62 at the moment.
Right.
And every French president for the last 40 years has been saying, look, we really need to raise the retirement age just a bit to make the money add up.
And every time they do it, people set fire to cars.
Pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. And a French group of artists this year, they launched a campaign encouraging the French to make up for the extra 2 years by being systematically late for work for the entirety of their working life.
Really?
They've put together an official calendar and you plug in your age and it says, right, this is how late you need to be for work every single day of your life from now on in order to get those 2 years back.
That's interesting because I was 10 minutes late for this today.
Yeah.
Just embracing my French side.
I met a man who was in his 40s when I was living in Angoulême in the south of France. And he told me...
Another chapter in the Book of Dan.
I honestly did not know that you used to live in Angoulême.
Yeah, just for like, it was like 3 months, 4 months. I was living with my grandmother.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
that's a long time to live somewhere that we've never heard of in our 11 years making a weekend. If I had ever been to Angoulême on holiday, you guys would know all about it.
Was that when you opened that patisserie that was based on Marcel Marceau?
All the baked goods are the other side of an imaginary pane of glass, so no one can ever get me fucking bread.
Yeah, this guy said that he was now on his pension because he worked in the army as...
Which guy?
The French man who was in his 40s who I met.
Sorry, yes.
There was the bit connected
to
this.
Yeah. You met a guy.
I met a guy and he was retired. He was on his French pension and it's because he was in the army and he was a paratrooper. Yeah. And there was a little blip, I guess, in the wording, which meant that if you'd done a number of jumps, you could retire and go into your pension.
Okay.
Right.
So he did something like in the space of a year, something like 500 jumps. He literally got up, got in a plane, jumped out, got down, got back up, and would just continuously do it. And now he's just living a life, just free on a pension in his 40s.
That is amazing. But yeah. I mean, the chance of one of the jumps going wrong is very low, but obviously the more you do.
Yeah.
And then presumably the idea of the government is if enough people die in jumps, then they'll have less of a pension bill.
That's possible. Yeah.
The last 100 you have to do over volcanoes, over the mouths of snapping alligators. Yeah.
There was a big problem in America this year with the budget, wasn't there? Do you remember that?
No.
So basically, the Republicans tried to pass a budget and the Democrats decided to put the whole country into lockdown, which, you know, every time that a president tries to do that, the other side tries to do that. Okay. So it's not a Republican-Democrat thing. It is just a thing. But in Charlotte, in North Carolina, they were trying to pass a budget and protesters stopped the meeting by releasing an unknown number of crickets into the room. That's an interesting way of stopping something because actually it causes an enormous amount of tumult. But crickets, you would think that's just like silence and quietness, don't you? It's like a bad joke is crickets.
Yes.
But actually it caused an absolutely amazing amount of craziness because people were running around trying to get rid of these crickets.
Not because they were very noisy.
No, it wasn't. It was just that people don't... Have you ever watched I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
No.
Well, if you do watch that, you'll know that celebrities at least, but you can extend it to the general public, don't like insects jumping on them.
Yeah, celebrities aren't different in that respect.
No, they're better than us in many respects. But...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an unknown number is a good thing. That's like the old joke of you release 5 sheep somewhere and you paint on their sides 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6.
Yeah.
You know? And then you can reduce a city to chaos for days as they try and find sheep number 5, which doesn't exist.
They all fall asleep every time they start looking for it, don't they?
I got one more music thing to add, seeing this was a musical protest fact that you opened up with, which is that, so one of the other big things going on in the world right now is how people are responding to AI coming in and destroying certain fields. In the creative arts, it's a big deal. And in music, it's been a big thing. So earlier this year, 1,000 musicians got together to release an album called Is This What We Want? ?
Oh, yeah.
And it went to 38 in the album charts. And it was an entirely silent album.
Oh, considering that's actually pretty good.
Exactly. So like it included Kate Bush, Annie Lennox, Damon Albarn from Blur, Ed O'Brien from Radiohead, Dan Smith from Bastille, Jets.
Did they all have to pay royalties to John Cage?
Interestingly, I haven't heard whether or not that's the case. That's a really good question. But they all contributed bits of silence to it. I managed to track down one of the musicians to get an exclusive outtake from the album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so here we go. This is something that didn't make it to the album.
Hello, No Such Thing as a Fish. It's Dan Smith here from a band called Bastille. And I wanted to send you an exclusive outtake from my contribution to Is This What We Want, the album from this year. This was my favorite bit and I was pretty gutted that it didn't make the cut, but I'm just really happy to have the opportunity to share it with you now. So here we go. Oh, wasn't that beautiful? Anyway, have a good show and have a great break. Bye.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was great.
So that's, Bastille. That was an outtake from their contribution to this album. And it's, lovely. You can get it on vinyl. It's a pre-order right now if anyone's listening. But very cool protest.
Very funny.
A very dangerous thing that's going on for a lot of artists.
I did find... okay, guys, I'm really sorry. I found something from... It's just over a year ago.
I was going to put money on Andy bringing a 2024 story to the table.
Last December, I'm so annoyed this guy just missed this year. But it was a brilliant Windermere protest, that's all.
Oh.
Have you heard of the chain of supermarkets Booths?
Oh, yeah. I used to live up there. So, they're like the Waitrose of North Lancashire and Cumbria.
Exactly. Oh, wow. And that's their slogan, isn't it? Yeah. There was a guy called Michael Moody who got a parking ticket, I believe, in the booths in Windermere, which is the only reason I bring it up, Windermere in the Lake District. And he didn't pay it because, according to him, he didn't notice that he got the letters saying you've got a parking ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got handed a county court judgment for not paying his parking ticket. And at that point, that meant that he could no longer get a mortgage.
Oh.
So he decided to launch a protest against booths of Windermere.
Okay.
He travelled from his home in Skegness.
Oh my God, that's a long way.
Quite a way. A couple of hundred miles.
It's like Skegness, for non-British listeners, is on the opposite coast of the UK.
Yeah. He went to the car park of Booth Windermere. He went back to the scene of the crime, or non-crime, whatever.
The alleged crime.
Where he got the ticket, certainly. And he moved his entire living room into the car park, which was his sofa, some bookshelves, some coffee tables, his pet goldfish. Like, he just moved into a parking space.
Wow.
At Booth Windermere. What a hero.
That's amazing.
And what happened?
I haven't been able to find an update.
Really?
So I suspect they've had him quietly taken care of.
John Wilkes Booths.
Okay, it's time for our next fact, and that is James.
Okay, here is my voice note from someone that was sent to me just last night.
Hi guys, my name's Shivan McCutcheon, and this year I achieved something with the help of my three brothers.
He did something with his three brothers.
With his three brothers, and we are in the realm of sport.
Mm.
And I want to just say thank you so much to Shivan for sending me that, because he is really sick.
He's got
the illness that's going around at the moment. So he came out of his sick bed to record that. But yeah, with three of his brothers, he did something this year.
Three. So it requires four people.
Okay, so I think it's, and it's in the world of sport.
Yeah.
It's a four-person sporting team.
Actually, there are four of eight in the squad and five in the team.
Rowing?
Very close. Unbelievably close for a first guess.
Right.
Actually.
I just think eight is...
Yeah,
eight. You don't get many eights in sports.
Is it curling?
No, further away.
I mean, rowing was unbelievably close, so I don't know why curling would be...
Well, you were just close in the number, I thought. Curling, it's quite a big team. You've got the guy who throws the curl, you've got the guy with the broom, you've got... There's like four people yelling from behind. Harder brushing!
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the explanation of what curling is, then. I think James was saying rowing was... Is it like yachting?
Further away.
Oh, okay. It's on a boat.
It's on a small boat.
Oh, small boat.
Sailing the English Channel. It's small boat migration.
Small boat. They're all in separate boats.
Oh, they're all in separate boats. Is this one of those... sort of historical reenactments where they're all sitting in tiny ships. It's like the Battle of Trafalgar.
Yeah, that sport. I love that. I actually would watch that. I'd watch the heck out of that sport. That sounds amazing. Dan, you've created a really good sport.
I gotta say, especially for the English and the British, like, because we're going to go to the World Cup next year and probably won't win it. But I reckon in the annual Battle of Trafalgar competition,
we're going to thrash them every year.
In the bars, they'll be throwing pints everywhere, singing Sweet Caroline.
Okay, what are we saying?
Small boats. It's a canoe, a kayak. A
canoe.
Canoe.
Yeah.
Canoe. So they were four canoes.
In the Team GB canoe polo team.
Canoe polo.
That won bronze at the World Games this year.
That's
canoe
amazing.
Polo. So water polo, but everyone's in a boat.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Wow.
So we won bronze this year, and Shivan McCutcheon, Surian McCutcheon, Santanam McCutcheon, and Kartik McCutcheon were all in the team together.
Fantastic.
That's so good.
And what were they raised to be
in boats?
Well, did they have a parent like the, you know, like the Williams sisters' dad who just hothoused them?
I see what you mean.
Like from birth to be canoe polo.
I think what it is there are not so many canoe polo teams in the UK.
Right.
But there is one amazing one in Liverpool called the Friends of Allenby, and they're all part of this canoe polo team. And in total, 13 of the canoe polo players from the male and females teams came from this one club.
Stunning.
So it's like they're all the Liverpool or the Arsenal of canoe polo.
And you're going to have obviously a variety of ages between them. So it begs the question, what is an ideal age to be a canoe poloist?
Yeah, they're all in the 20s, I think.
Mm,
apologies if any of us in the late teens or early 30s, but yeah, they're all about that age. And this was the World Games, which is it's like the Olympic Games, but it's for sports that are not in the Olympics.
I read that I'd never heard of it before, and I found a list of sports that are in there, which are not sports I know well at all. I don't know anything about fin swimming.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about fistball.
Fistball. I'm surprised. Fistball is like volleyball, but the ball's allowed to bounce.
Oh, okay.
And the amazing thing about fistball is it was written about in 1786 by friend of the podcast, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Oh. Wow.
He wrote about going to a fistball game between four noblemen from Verona and four Venetians.
Right. Amazing.
Snooker is in the World Games.
Is it?
Because it's not in the Olympics.
Yeah, right.
And snooker was won by Zhao Guodong, who is the world's number eight snooker player. And with the greatest respect to all the other players, he was the only professional there.
Right.
So he was like, he really wanted to compete and win a medal for China because he's very patriotic. Mm. But he is, at the time, he was the eighth best player in the world and everyone else was an amateur.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
It's like he just in fact, he actually lost one of his group games, but yeah, he basically smashed everyone because he is one of the world's
best.
That's
so funny. That's so funny.
So congratulations to Shivan. Let me play in the reveal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The answer is we're part of the British canoe polo team who won bronze at this year's World Games in Chengdu.
Yeah, we know that, mate.
And of course, just wanted to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to Dan, Andy, James, and everyone tuning in to the pod.
Oh, I thought you feel bad. He said Merry Christmas to us.
Yep, got in prematurely. I apologize to all the brothers. That's really cool. Thanks for sending us that. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's really Never heard of that game. Do you think it's going to make its way to the Olympics one day?
I'd love it to. Mm. I think it's quite exciting. I've seen some videos of it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it does sound good. There is another... This isn't a proper campaign running at the moment, but I did read a piece recently about paintball players who... are campaigning for it to be eventually an Olympic sport.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
I think it would be fun for spectators.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to do, for sure, but it's not even recognised as a sport yet, I think. So that's probably that's probably the first hurdle to clear before you get into the Olympics.
It would be remarkable if it went straight from not a sport to in the Olympics.
Here is a cool thing that has been revealed. There are a lot of... track and field records being broken. And
are there?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have
stagnated for decades.
Because basically everyone took drugs.
Right.
And we didn't know about it. And now people are taking fewer drugs or less good drugs and they can't beat the records anymore.
But there is a thing you can take.
Oh.
Which helps you run a bit faster.
Interesting.
Consistently helps you run a bit faster. All athletes are taking it now.
All athletes are taking it, and it makes you run faster.
You'll both have some in your pantry, I'm going to say.
I don't have a pantry, but let's say, is it kind of, is it like nutmeg?
You would use it in your, it's in your baking cupboard.
Oh.
My baking cupboard.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot about Andy's kitchen here. He's got a pantry, a baking cupboard.
Turn left after the second pantry, and that's the baking cupboard.
Ask the butler to retrieve it for you.
Wheel the cheese fridge over to one side.
Okay, what would be in your baking cupboard? Is it baking soda?
It's baking soda.
Is it really?
What a disappointingly short quiz that was. I was gearing up for a very enjoyable half hour there. Mm. No, it's baking soda. This is so bizarre. Basically, it seems to act as a buffer against increased acid buildup in muscles. It's legal. And they've developed ways of giving it to you. Probably doesn't work if you take it in a cake, unfortunately.
Like, yes.
All the athletes just scoffing a quick bit of chocolate fudge cake at the starting line. So very sadly, that's not it. But there were some of that, because we had an Olympics last year, didn't we?
And the Winter Olympics is about to happen.
Okay, because there were some events last summer where almost all finalists were taking baking soda.
Right.
Is that
It's
true?
Not illegal. It's not.
And how do they take it? It's
in some sort of boring gel.
Yeah, again, right. Like, don't just go scoffing baking soda from your pantry.
Yeah.
The baking soda challenge. Don't do it, guys. Yeah, yeah. It's been put into some complicated thing by some nerds.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember this year when Donald Trump won the FIFA Peace Prize?
Ah.
Of course.
How could we forget?
I was praying for it for so many months and then it came true and I just couldn't believe it.
He also won the FIFA Club World Cup. which is a soccer competition.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. This guy's not running.
So most people, like the fake news, think that Chelsea won it. and sure enough, they did win the final. But it was in New Jersey that it took place.
Okay.
And Donald Trump was at the final. And the head of FIFA, Infantino, he went to the White House and showed Donald Trump the actual trophy and said, oh, you can look after this for a while. And then according to Donald Trump's account, he said, when are you going to pick up the trophy, Gianni? And Infantino said, oh, no, we're never going to pick it up. You can have it forever. And we're making a new one. So Chelsea got the replica. And the winner of the actual Club World Cup was Donald Trump.
Oh, my God.
He still got it?
He still got it.
What?
There was an amazing thing after that final. All the players of Chelsea are stood there waiting to receive their replica trophy, and their fireworks are going to go.
Or do they get one each?
No, they'll get a medal and stuff.
Okay, okay.
And then they give them the trophy, and then they hold it up, and the crowd go wild. But Donald Trump was on the stage, sort of handing out the medals, but then never left. Like all the other dignitaries left the stage, and he just kind of stood there. God. And there's an amazing video of Cole Palmer, the England footballer, who is an amazing footballer, but perhaps didn't probably even know who Donald Trump was, just kind of pointing at him going, who's this guy? It was amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. Really,
there's a Spanish football club called Leganes, and they, you know how football clubs, they have the jerseys that you buy, and they have advertising. So they have advertising where your tummy is. Sometimes they have advertising on where your shoulder is.
Yeah.
But this team had advertising where your groin is.
So
right in the middle of the shorts, they had a little advert. Can you guess what the advert was for?
Safe sex or some contraception stuff?
Yeah,
or some
new gonorrhea jab.
It was for the Testicular Cancer Society.
Very nice.
It was a bit of advertising to bring up awareness for that, but also to teach people how to self-check for testicular cancer.
Nice. Brilliant. That's very good.
That's very good.
James, has any team ever... This is just a little idea I've had. Put advertising on the inside of the shirt.
Okay, what would be the point of that?
Because when you score a goal and you pull your shirt up over your head, it reveals your secret sponsor.
That's really good.
That's a good idea, right?
It's a really good idea. Like, people will wear undershirts with a message written on it, so when they lift their shirt, the message is shown. I think you're not allowed to do that. I think you get a yellow card if you do that.
Yeah.
There was a boxer once who the Sun advertised the soles of his feet because they were so sure he was going to get knocked out. And they thought when he landed, the camera would go onto the soles of the feet.
Really good.
That's wonderful. Someone against Mike Tyson. I can't remember who it was.
Such optimistic ways of seeing life, isn't it? That's really good. Guys, I actually, when I was trying to find a news story from the year, I actually contacted someone else, and at the last minute, they have sent me a question for us to do with sports.
Okay.
So can we want to quickly hear that?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. So,
hello, No Such Thing as a Fish. My name is Dermot Early, and this year, in a competition that was broadcast live from Las Vegas on ESPN, I became a world champion. My question for you is, what am I now the world champion of?
I've got a guess, which I think might be right. So,
What was the name of your correspondent, Dan?
Dermot Early.
Okay.
Las Vegas. It was out on ESPN.
Not a gambling thing.
Not a gambling, but not strictly a sport. Mm. Rather an e-sport.
An e-sport. So something to do with computers.
Or Yorkshire.
Or ecstasy.
Well, we've talked before about sort of fun things like Microsoft Excel.
Yep.
Being sport. Was it that?
Well, let's. Do you want to have a guess, James?
That would have been my guess as well.
let's see.
The air's really got out of this balloon. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Let's see what it is.
Imagine if it's Call of Duty.
The answer is that after an intense competition over 3 days among some of the world's best spreadsheeters, I was crowned this year's Microsoft Excel World Champion.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's
that's really great.
To be honest, like, you're not going to say, "Hi, my name's Lionel Messi. Guess which sport I played this year?" Or, "Hi, my name's Roger Federer. Guess what?" He's such a big name in this podcast. We're just going to know that, aren't we?
Yeah. This is his first world championship within the Microsoft Excel competition. He faced off against Andrew Nye, who has won it 3 times. So he took the win.
Wow.
And I mean, it's a pretty amazing competition. They get jumbled data, basically. And in some cases, they have to make the data make a famous painting. So they have to place all the things in the right places to reveal a painting. The one that was done this year was inspired by origami. So players had to use their knowledge of the software to complete 130 questions that were spread across 7 levels. And the theme of it was origami.
Amazing.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, we would usually do a final fact of the show. There's always usually 4, but as there's only 3 of us, we're going to head straight into...
Wait.
What?
There is another.
What are you on about?
I got an extra person.
Oh.
Did you?
Yeah. I sent out a couple of lures bobbing around on the water, and I got 2 bites. A
couple of reels.
And a second person replied, can I just play you one last person?
Yeah.
It's such a great... response.
Hi, my name is Just van Rossum. I'm a Dutch typeface designer. I was in the news this year because it looks like I was the victim of a crime. But can you guess why?
Okay, so he's a typeface designer.
Yep.
Did he put the word... He did some work for the SAS, a big sign, but his A looked so much like an O that it looked like it read SOS, and they thought he was in trouble.
That's really good. So he is a Dutch typeface designer.
Is a typeface part important?
Yes.
Is it?
Okay.
So was the
crime
name
that he was a victim of is related to his work.
So is the typeface name itself something like murdered?
Oh, that's very nice. I'm gonna say something to you guys, a little extra clue.
Yeah.
What's a classic bit of Dan's stand up, James?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
There's so many.
That's related to typos. And
like, typefaces.
I can't remember any of your stand-up.
The bit where you went on
so many different typeface gags that I have.
where he would wear a fake nose and glasses and mustache and take them off and have the same thing underneath.
That was pretty good.
What about when he was cock-blocked from out of space by that astronaut?
That was a great bit.
Oh, yes. Chris Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield. It's a thing.
Is it the time when he was with a woman and she said, take off your trousers, and his legs were so hairy that he already had taken off his trousers?
I was so tempted right now to subtly put out the fact that I am on tour next year with a show. This is not doing any favors for that whatsoever.
Dan is on tour next year?
Yeah.
How do people get tickets?
Well, tickets are going to be allocated by a sort of like, it's like going to be jury duty. you'll just get the call.
You have to do it.
You do have to do it, unless you've got an amazing reason. Like,
They're not inhuman. They will let you off if, like, you're really unwell.
No, it's called This Changes Everything. It's going to be in March and April. Tickets are on sale now, by the way, guys, if anyone wants to come. London, Brighton, all sorts of places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, is your quiz anything to do with Dan's show that he's doing?
It's to do with a very famous advert.
Oh, you wouldn't steal a car. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Do you want to hear Just's answer?
Yeah.
Just Van Rossum says,
I designed a font called FF Confidential. This year, an investigation found that the font seems to have been pirated and used in a very famous advert saying, you wouldn't steal a car.
So good.
Wow. This is like level zero of the podcast. This is friend of the podcast from the get-go.
So Just designed that font.
Yeah.
Which an investigation this year found had been nicked because the font used in that advert is identical to the font he designed. And they did a little bit of kind of DNA testing on the font in the advert.
Amazing.
And it's that font.
Incredible. I'm starstruck.
Oh, me too. Just. I was so excited. I was so excited to hear back.
Very good. Anyway. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Andy. But hey, guys, we now need to get to an exciting little festive bit of the show. James, Andy, and I never get to be around the Christmas tree every year, which is a huge shame.
What do you mean? As if we all go and see our families instead of spending time together.
Yeah, yeah, which is a huge disappointment every year for me.
Oh, yeah.
So what we thought we'd do is we'd end this week's episode, as it's Christmas, by giving each other a present. And so we've got them in front of us here. Yeah. We've all bought each other a present.
Get mine out.
Let me get mine out.
Dan's done a really nice wrapping job on his and a label and everything. And mine looks a bit crummy. Mine looks like a sealed bit of evidence.
Yeah.
Oh, James has got a magician's.
Oh. Wait.
Okay.
This is all prep.
I'll close my eyes. But bad news for you, I've had that operation where I can now see through my eyes. So James has bought a present for me, I've bought a present for Andy, and Andy has bought a present for James. So let's do it. James, do you want to start?
So I go first. Yeah. So this is for you, Dan. Your present is in this bag.
Okay. Should I feel?
Yeah, feel it. No?
There's nothing in there.
Oh, well, maybe there will be something in there. Let me see what I can find in there. Oh, that's my magic wand. It's not that.
This is amazing.
What else is in there? Oh, well, that's mine and Anna's book. It's definitely not that.
Everything to play for, by the way.
Oh, that's... I don't know what that is.
What is going on here?
This is brilliant.
This is amazing.
Here it is. Here it is. It's a card signed by Jesse Eisenberg from the Now You See Me movies.
You're kidding.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
The best film franchise ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. I did find it. It's very, very rare. Wow. If you go on eBay, there's only about 500 of them.
Right.
He makes a lot more off the signed cards, doesn't he, than he does off the movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How exciting. Thank you very much. This has been the surprise movie hit of the year for the podcast. Now You See Me has become a friend of the podcast.
I'm the only one who hasn't seen Now You See Me. I haven't I haven't seen it now.
And I haven't seen the third one, which is out now, but isn't there a character in it called Schreiber?
There is, yeah. They have to call to London for some creative person.
Right.
I won't give too much away,
uh-huh.
But they're like, get Schreiber on the phone right now.
There you go. Netflix has seen
Schreiber,
the numbers.
Do you know any creative people? What's that? Your friends James and Andy. They sound perfect.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're
That's
welcome.
A very thoughtful present because I do love that movie. Should we go around this way?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is for you,
Thank
Andy.
Thank you very much.
A label there.
For Andy, love Dan. Then three kisses.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
My son wrote that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
Could, yes.
At this stage.
At this stage. In its wrapped state, it could be
it's
anything.
It's book-shaped.
Interesting.
But it's a bit yielding, but that might just be the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Just doing a bit of Foley. Hang on, let me do this. Oh, look.
Listen to that.
And what is it? It's, oh my God. It's a copy of Len B. Dell's book, Too Long in the Bush.
First Dan, edition hardback.
First get out.
First edition
hardback.
You don't
have that kind of money, Dan.
I know. Finella's furious. Can I...
Too Long in the Bush is the story extending over 3 years of how the author made the first road ever to cross Central Australia east to west. Wow.
Just one extra detail is that it is
signed
copy.
Beautiful.
Beautiful writing.
Lovely handwriting.
It's stunning handwriting.
For a man who built roads, yeah. You know, he's got calligraphy on him.
Yeah.
He's just a multi-talented guy. I'm so chuffed. Thank you.
And just in case Mel Bracewell's listening, can you explain who Len Beadell is?
Len Beadell was responsible for building huge numbers of Australia's roads. As it says here, he's made 4,000 miles of lonely roads across central Australia.
What a legend.
Mm. Oh, look, I can't. I really can't cap that. I mean, but James, I hope you like this.
This better be good now.
Well, it's nowhere near as good as a Len Beadell book.
Oh, but a signed card I thought, by Jesse Eisenberg.
No kisses on this. It says, to my valued colleague, with esteem, your colleague. Andy.
I'm sorry, I got a bit mushy. I shouldn't have done that.
I'm welling up. And it's so beautifully wrapped. So your note was written by your child. Was yours wrapped by your child, Andy?
It's a very difficult thing to wrap, isn't it? Look at it.
It's an awkward shape.
But I thought, what does James like?
Okay, what
James likes
like?
A sport.
I have. I'm a one-dimensional character, as we've said.
But I think this has got two dimensions. This gift.
Oh my god!
It's
a Tranmere Rovers golf balls. It's my favourite football team and my favourite sport together at last.
Wow!
You've ripped off the price, which you know,
which was astronomical. Those people at Tranmere are outrageous. So it's got balls.
Yeah, it's got our logo on it.
Right, exactly.
It's got T's with Tranmere Rovers written on them.
And there's a third thing, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what is that on the back?
It's a little fork.
Okay, can you guess what that's for? It's a little fork.
It's a little fork. Molly said it was for marking your balls, which I just don't think can be right.
I'm sorry to say Molly's wrong, but she's not far off.
Is it a little bookmark for Andy to read while you're playing the game?
I'll be just sitting in the cart. I'll chase gets out. Is it something to go in your top pocket to say, ladies, I am available in the 19th hole?
What it is, if you have golf clubs, they have to be like, it's really perfect metal and they're the right length and they're the right size. Yeah. And if you flick them like that, they make a little noise. And this is like a little tuning fork.
Oh, wow.
You bang it and it has to...
No.
No.
Oh, no! I was in.
When the ball lands in the ground, it can make a little indentation and this, you kind of flatten it so the next person who comes along doesn't... That ball doesn't bobble around in your
is
indentation.
Is that so?
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Wow.
It's great. Invaluable, Andy. Thank you so much. I'm very happy with my gift.
Well, I
and I
really
actually
like
will
it.
Use these for sure.
Great.
Amazing.
I'll actually read that. And Dan will be playing with his card.
Snap again.
All right, look, well, we hope that you also got amazing presents this year, had a great Christmas. We're going to be back again next year with more guests joining us. Anna's going to be back in the late spring. It's going to be an exciting 2026 for Fish, and we will see you then. Goodbye.